World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. The three red cards in Mexico's opening win over South Africa might end up telling us more about this World Cup than the scoreline did. Mexico got the result, the Azteca got the emotional night it wanted, and the tournament got a dramatic start. But the bigger conversation today is whether referees are drawing a harder line from day one, and what that means for teams that arrived expecting the usual rhythm of tournament football. If this is a World Cup where late lunges, tactical fouls, and emotional reactions are punished faster, that changes more than discipline charts. It changes how coaches build pressure, how defenders manage transitions, and how stars protect themselves in crowded matches. What stood out was not just that cards were shown, but how quickly the tone of the game shifted once the officiating line became obvious. Mexico looked better equipped to settle into that reality. South Africa looked like a team chasing the game and then chasing the referee. For fans, that creates instant drama. For teams, it creates a warning. Emotional control may be as important as shape and finishing over the next few weeks. And for the World Cup as a spectacle, it suggests FIFA and the officials may prefer a tournament where control comes before chaos, even if that means big talking points after every big challenge. The second thread that really matters is the opening night atmosphere in Mexico City and what it says about this tournament as an event. A lot of reporting over the last day focused on the emotion of the World Cup returning to the Azteca, and honestly, that is not just ceremony talk. It matters because this tournament is trying to be both global mega event and local lived experience at the same time. Mexico's win gave the hosts a perfect emotional launch. But underneath that celebration is a bigger question. Can the host cities keep turning spectacle into a smooth experience for fans once the novelty wears off and the traffic, pricing, and security demands really hit? That question connects directly to another story getting real traction today, the economics of this World Cup. Several outlets framed this as the most commercially intense World Cup yet, and you can see why. Everything around the tournament feels scaled up. Tickets, travel, sponsorships, branded experiences, opening week entertainment, and the whole ecosystem around being near the event, even if you do not have a seat inside the stadium. That is great news if you are a sponsor, a broadcaster, or a city hoping for tourism revenue. It is more complicated if you are a supporter trying to turn love of football into an affordable trip. For me, this is one of the most podcast-worthy themes of the day because it lives right at the center of what the modern World Cup has become. Fans are not only watching matches. They are navigating a giant commercial machine. The atmosphere can still be magical, but the costs shape who gets to participate and how. When a World Cup becomes harder to access in person, the tournament risks feeling more premium and less communal. That does not kill the emotion, but it changes the texture of it. Another story worth watching is the host city experience outside the stadiums. Local coverage and fan guides are already leaning heavily into where to watch, how to move around, and how cities are building mini celebrations around matches. On the surface, that sounds light. It is not. The modern World Cup is judged not just by what happens over 90 minutes, but by whether fans can actually live the day well, get around, stay safe, find places to watch, afford food, and feel part of something. If host cities nail that, the tournament expands beyond ticket holders. If they do not, frustration becomes part of the daily conversation very quickly. There is also a health and travel angle that should not be ignored. One report that caught attention involved DR Congo arriving in the United States after an Ebola quarantine. That is an extraordinary headline on its own, but the reason it matters in World Cup terms is that it reminds us how fragile tournament preparation can be. Training plans, recovery routines, media schedules, even player calm, all of it can be disrupted by health protocols and travel complications. At a World Cup, margins are tiny. A squad that loses normal preparation time can feel that in the first match, even if nobody wants to use it as an excuse. And then there is the live football thread already forming around South Korea against Czechia. Even before that game settles into a final narrative, some of the coverage focused on Sun missing chances and on how quickly small moments become amplified at a World Cup. That is another useful reminder for today's show. This tournament creates instant pressure. One half without a goal, one missed chance, one heavy touch, and suddenly the conversation becomes about composure, legacy, and whether a team looks ready for the stage. Early matches do not decide everything, but they can absolutely shape the emotional weather around a team. So when you step back, the story of the last 24 hours is not just that matches have started. It is that the World Cup has revealed its tone immediately. High emotion, tight scrutiny, big commercial energy, heavy logistical demands, and an officiating climate that may force teams to adapt fast. That combination is why the opening days matter so much. They do not just give us results, they tell us what kind of tournament this wants to be. For fans, the smartest way to read these early days is to look beyond scoreboards. Watch how referees are setting standards. Watch which teams stay calm when matches become messy. Watch which host cities feel welcoming once the crowds swell. Watch whether the stories around cost and access grow louder. Those trends can end up being just as important as any single goal. My big takeaway today is simple. This World Cup already feels like a tournament where control will be precious. Control of emotion, control of logistics, control of costs if you are traveling, and control of narrative if you are one of the teams expected to go deep. Mexico controlled its opening night better than South Africa did. The organizers are trying to control a massive event. Fans are trying to control the experience around it. And in the middle of all that, football is still producing the beautiful unpredictability that makes us come back every time. That is what is worth carrying into tomorrow's matches and tomorrow's headlines. Not just who won, but which pressures are starting to define the competition. See you tomorrow.